God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. When I was in high school, which for me seems many, many, many years ago, other than my art class, one of the most interesting classes that I took was in geography. And I've been fascinated with the world, and especially the Australian continent, ever since. The formation of the mountains and the beaches used to hold me in wonder whenever I saw them. I've been in awe of the natural world, and indeed of cities and villages, because there is something just so majestic about the planet on which we live, and in its seemingly uniqueness in the heavens. During the past Christmas holidays, and through most holidays, I really enjoy going back through old documentaries that I haven't managed to see during the year, and I stumbled across one this past holiday, and it was called The Voyage of the Continents. It was a series that showed how our continents were formed and the events that occurred in the 4+ billion years since the planet was first a swirling sphere of molten materials. Around 2.5 billion years ago, the molten surface began to cool, and the cooling crust formed the first supercontinent. And over time, the large mass began to separate into the large floating tectonic plates that we have today. The documentary traced the development of each of the Earth's current continents and showed how they were once connected and the forces that are at play that result in their constant movement. Geologists all over the world have been examining the minerals in rocks and finding evidence as to where the first continent formed and how they have moved to their current positions. We can experience evidence of the dynamic nature of these moving plates when we experience and see earthquakes, volcanoes, and the impact on our changing environment. Creation is a never-ending process. And whilst the movements of the continents might seem imperceptible to us, over time, our lands are all moving in relation to one another. The geologists predict that within 1 million years, California will actually break off from the mainland United States. And to those in California who want us to see, that might be a good thing. But certainly, I wouldn't want to be around when it actually happens. The power and energy of creation is constant in our own lives, in all that is around us and in our own beings. In the opening verses of Genesis, we hear a description from Moses' time of the first creation activity, the creation of light. God spoke light into being first, for without light nothing could evolve. Light is an essential element of creation, and the fullness of creation is made known by light. And our own creation is brought forth in its fullest when the light of Christ is infused into us at our baptism. We are born into a fallen state, separated from God by the first couple's experience of free will and choice. And our separation from God makes us feel less than whole as our lives play out in much darkness. God desires restoration of our relationship and gives us the choice to make. And responding to this decision is a fascinating component of our own creation journeys. Creation of the natural environment is never stagnant, as it's always evolving. At times it is imperceptible, as I said, but at other times it's highly visible. And I've only got to think about what's happening in Australia at the moment and the devastation that's been brought on that country by the fires, which are wiping out forests and whole part of the ecology of the country, which is very unique. But I can only remember back to times when I've witnessed those fires, and then I've seen the regeneration that happens. And 10 years later, you wouldn't know a fire's been through, except for a little bit of charcoal on the trees. The power of creation is incredible, and we have to think that that power will resurrect that country's ecology. And we too, as part of creation, are always evolving. even though at times we might feel our lives have stagnated or in fact have regressed in some way. Our bodies are constantly changing. And every 4 to 12 weeks, depending on our age, all of our skin cells regenerate. And we hopefully will continue to evolve both spiritually and psychologically. Our journey back to our full relationship with God mirrors the evolving nature of the world. For Christians, the real start of this journey is made manifest in our baptism. It's through the conscious act of baptism that we make a choice, either ourselves or through our sponsors, such as our parents or our godparents, to enter a formal covenant with God that will guide our reconciliation and ongoing relationship. Today we celebrate the feast of the baptism of our Lord, remembering Jesus' conscious decision to be baptized by John in the flowing waters of the Jordan River. Jesus wanted to be baptized to show the world what new life looked like. After Jesus and John demonstrated that the journey to full reconciliation with God commenced with the baptism by the Holy Spirit, many people who were with Jesus were also baptized by him, demonstrating a conscious desire to be reunited with God. And people kept coming, as they keep coming today. In Jesus' baptism, the light that is God was infused in him, and the Holy Spirit descended on him. And at baptism, we are similarly infused with the light and Spirit of Christ. The Apostle John describes the impact of light and darkness in our human life this way. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those that do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, it's Jesus that sees the heavens torn apart and the Spirit of God descending. It is Jesus that hears the voice of heaven, his Father, blessing him. Jesus' personal experience at baptism becomes an epiphany for us, illuminating Jesus for us as the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Saviour of the world. And through our baptism, we also become the epiphany for others. And so the cycle of creation and restoration turns forward. Through Jesus and our own baptism, we start the journey back to God, hoping for a deeper and deeper understanding of this important relationship. The energy that drives us forward, out of stagnation and into the fullness of creation, comes from the Holy Spirit that is infused to us, infused into our hearts. And it's for this reason that baptism with the Holy Spirit has been so important to the Christian church down through the ages. It's the first of the two great sacraments, the other being the memorial Eucharist. Baptism was treated very seriously in the first couple of centuries after the church was formed, and was confirmed as the requirement to be a part of the church. The early church fathers devised a 3-year catechumenate, or time of preparation for baptism. And baptism was only held on Easter Sunday, and was only for adults who had completed their 3 years of preparation. The need for education was, as you can imagine, great, as more and more people of the non-Jewish faith, joined the church. And most of these people had a pagan background and a pagan understanding of the world, and they needed to be properly prepared to give their lives to Christ. In the early 4th century, when the Roman Emperor Constantine was himself converted and baptized, he decreed that Christianity was to become the state religion of the empire. At that time, the persecution of Christians largely ceased, and so more and more people wanted to join the church. And a 3-year catechumenate became an impractical and was so reduced, and more days were set aside for baptism. The reduction in preparation did lead to a blending of Christian and pagan beliefs, which created further problems for the early church and were ultimately resolved by the great councils of the church in the 4th and 5th centuries. Today, the sacrament of baptism is mostly administered to our young ones, to infants who are sponsored by parents and grandparents and godparents. It's the sponsors that make the covenant with God on behalf of the child, and in doing so, take on the great responsibility to help raise the child in the full knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the importance of that relationship. The baptismal covenant is a personal covenant between the baptized and God that encompasses the declaration of belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We take on a commitment to learning and fellowship, to sharing in the common Eucharist and in prayer. It is a commitment to try and resist the way of the dark forces of the world, but knowing that if we fail, we can turn back to God and seek forgiveness. It's also that declaration that we will share our faith with the world by living as an example in the world, loving one neighbour, striving for peace and justice among all people, and respecting the dignity of every human being. We commit to this covenant acknowledging that we do so only with God's help. The baptism covenant should be posted on each of your refrigerators if you're a person that posts things on your refrigerator. I took my own advice a few years ago and did that one thing. And every now and again, I look at it and read it, and it reminds me of the covenant that I undertook and undertake every time I renew my vows. The combination of the components of the baptismal covenant illuminates us with the light of Christ, so that we stand by example to the world as a beacon of hope. Baptism is an essential component of our Christian identity, and this covenant is the personal commitment we make with God. It's the foundation of our life. And like the constant shifting continents on which we live, our life in Christ is also constantly shifting as we experience the forces at play in the world around us. But baptism and the Eucharist are the sacraments that anchor our lives in God and provide us with one almighty stabilizing force. Amen.